For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Today's topic is when there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. When I was young, my sisters and I went to Morgan Dancing School. We had a sister act to the Nat King Cole song, Smile. Since I was the princess of brushing things under the carpet, I thought the song was saying to brush anything pleasant under the carpet and just smile to make things better. But that encourages toxic positivity. Listen to the words and see what you think. Smile though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your fear and sorrow, smile and maybe tomorrow, you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Now when I hear the words, they take on a different meaning for me. After years of practicing being with difficult emotions rather than brushing them under the carpet, I take them to mean that even when you have clouds in your sky, you can still see the good in life. If you find something to smile about during your fear and your sorrow, you'll change the trajectory of your life. Instead of getting on the hamster wheel of reactivity and making things worse, you will slow down and respond skillfully. The poet Ella Wheeler Wilcox said, "'Tis easy enough to be pleasant when life flows along like a song, but the man worthwhile is the one who will smile when everything goes dead wrong." Smiling is all about finding calmness and composure in a difficult situation, finding equanimity. I see equanimity as a wisdom that protects our minds from discouragement and frustration when our lack of control is clear. It's the mindful presence that neither grasps nor resists experience and is the grounds for unconditional love and wise action. It's not gritting your teeth or white-knuckling it. Think of equanimity as stable, not rigid, like a tree with deep roots in a strong storm. A deep caring with a sense of ease. Equanimity can only arise through acceptance of the fact that we don't have complete control over any given situation. We're going to lose people we love, and everything changes. With equanimity, we step back and look at the bigger picture. When emotions like anger or grief overwhelm us, our views narrow. All we see is what's upsetting us. We think that's our entire world. But it's not. We can experience moments of happiness while in the throes of grief. I experienced that when I attended a meditation retreat just after my mother passed away. Sitting in silence, I felt overwhelmed with grief to the point where I felt like I needed to shut down. Freeze is my normal reaction to overwhelming negative feelings. Luckily, after the sit, it was time for outdoor walking meditation. The sky was blue with white puffy clouds, and the frozen lake was snow-covered. Walking in the beauty calmed my mind and my body. I could see more clearly. And I realized that my grief was overwhelming me because it was made up of so many emotions, and I was trying to process all at the same time. I realized I could sit with each emotion, asking the other emotions that arose to wait their turn. I could deal with them one at a time. I couldn't deal with them on my timeline. I had to go with theirs. But whenever they arose, I dealt with the first one that came up and asked the others to wait. Because freeze is my default emotion, my default when emotions overwhelm me, I initially thought equanimity meant indifference, being detached and unconcerned with other beings. But true equanimity is neither cold nor indifferent. It doesn't mean not caring. The calmness of equanimity is not due to indifference, but to seeing things as they are and accepting them. We see what we genuinely cannot control, no matter how obsessed we might be with trying to. We accept that our anger or our grief is, and that trying to push them away won't work. We accept the feeling and don't feel like we're broken for having that feeling. We see that when people we care about ghost us, It's not because we're broken, but because they do not have the capability to be with negative emotions. They don't know what to do, so they shut down on us. Without seeing clearly, we might feel shame, like there's something wrong with us for feeling what we feel. When we see clearly, we can see the experience of both grief or anger and happiness during the course of a day. We don't try to chase away the grief or the anger, but we allow what's good in life in. Instead of feeling we don't deserve to be happy, we realize that moments of happiness give us the strength to hold our difficult emotions. This balance we need for equanimity comes from inner strength or stability. The strong presence of inner calm, well-being, can keep us upright like the ballast of a ship keeps a ship upright in strong winds. That's why we meditate, to develop that inner calm. As the inner strength develops, equanimity follows. We can remain centered when surrounded by turmoil. The balanced heart feels pleasure without grasping and clinging. It feels pain without condemning or hating, and it stays open to neutral experiences with presence. Our wiring is not to be equanimous. We're wired to react to unpleasantness by pushing it away and to pleasantness by holding on to it. But the push-pull drama called the pursuit of happiness doesn't lead to satisfaction. Instead of freezing when we're overwhelmed by emotions, as I do, we might move into fight or flight. Our prefrontal cortex shuts down, our vision narrows, making us closed-minded. We cling to our opinions and beliefs so much that self-righteousness takes over. We may leave the people we love because being with them feels too hard. We lash out at everyone because we're hurting. In the same way, people we care about may move into fight, flight, or freeze. They lash out at us for having difficult feelings. They leave us either physically or emotionally because being with our difficult emotions feels too hard. Or they numb themselves and shut down because they don't think they can deal with our difficult emotions. And when they do so, we often think it's because something is wrong with us, when in reality, it's their lack of inner strength that causes them to move into fight, flight, or freeze. Equanimity is the middle ground between being indifferent and overwhelmed. In the middle ground, calm comes from a clarity of understanding. When we open our hearts, we connect to all things. And we balance that connection with a clear recognition of the way things are. We see what we genuinely cannot control, no matter how obsessed we might be with trying to. Equanimity protects us from overreaction to both our joys and our sorrows. So how do we stay engaged without becoming overwhelmed? We start with awareness. Become aware of the reality of the external experience and your internal reaction to the experience. You may notice that this is the recognize and allow steps in RAIN. Recognizing the way things really are and coming to terms with the limit of our influence. Once we see what's there, we can learn to accept reality. We may not like it, but we don't put our head in the sand or try to push it away. It takes practice to gain confidence in recognizing and accepting what is. The next step is pausing. If the thoughts or feelings cause a little discomfort, simply taking 3 breaths may be enough for you to be able to respond skillfully. However, if the discomfort is strong, you may need to schedule a time to sit in meditation with it and complete the steps below. The next step is investigating. To investigate with wisdom, we start by confirming what we can change and what we can't. We're not gritting our teeth to get through it. That's aversion. Instead, we're accepting the fact that we don't have control. And we explore how we can be with the painful experience, not how we can make it go away. We learn how to step back and see the bigger perspective so we don't take things personally. The wisdom we gain protects our mind from discouragement and frustration when our lack of control is clear. So you're not investigating how it happened or who's right and who's wrong? The following questions might help. Why did this trigger me? Is there a story behind my reaction that I'm telling myself? Is this story true or helpful? Do I have any influence or control over this? Why am I struggling with this? What might a skillful response to this situation be? And another question from David Emerald, whose emails I receive, is, do I want to add to the drama or pass and not play into the drama? Jack Kornfield says, equanimity, in its most basic understanding, is all about letting go of what, you may ask, of trying to control what cannot be controlled, including all of the inevitable changes that are a part of life. The next step is resourcing yourself. You can't be skillful on an empty tank. So do what you need to provide yourself with the motivation and the energy to respond skillfully. This may be spending time in nature, noticing what's good in the world, getting support from family or friends, starting a joy journal, or thanking yourself for the growth that you have had, even if you're not where you'd like to be yet. It's allowing yourself to experience moments of happiness in the midst of a difficult time. Practicing gratitude can be a way to resource yourself. However, sometimes you're not ready to practice gratitude. You squelch your gratitude with the thought it could be better, which leads to the thought I'm not enough. And if gratitude seems impossible, simply think of one thing that you did right during the day. It could be as simple as I got out of bed, or I brushed my teeth, or I washed the dishes. This looking for one right thing will help relax your mind and open you to the possibility of experiencing gratitude. We need to resource ourselves because we will be knocked off kilter a lot in our lives. We must learn to be okay with the internal roller coaster and be willing to go along for the ride. We need to resource ourselves to grow that willingness. Without equanimity, we're tossed about by the waves, often crashing into the circumstances of our lives. With equanimity, we're not trying to stop the waves, but learning to surf. And we're not trying to push the waves away. We're learning to go with them. The final step is taking skillful action. Once we're surfing, we can make choices. Not the choice to get even, not to react quickly, not to lash out, not to punish, not to hurt, not to close our minds and our heart. We can determine what influence or control we have over the situation. And if there's none, we just sit with the feelings. Once we sit with the feelings, it gets easier to let them go. If you can influence or control the situation, figure out the most skillful way to do so and follow through. Equanimity is the ability to see without being caught by what we see. A calm presence that is aware, open, engaged, but not swayed or caught by the experience of the moment. With equanimity, we can have a heart that's ready for everything, no matter what happens in our life. We have the capacity to respond from a place of tenderness and inner freedom. Equanimity frees us to cherish our life moment by moment. In the moments we're not fighting, judging, and grasping, but just being, we gain the deepest wisdom. We can create an equilibrium in our body where we're not disturbed and we're not zoned out to avoid being disturbed. Our brain is relaxed and calm, engaged and alert. So smile through your fears and sorrows, and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through. Thank you.